Welcome to episode 34 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. My name is Andrea and I'm here with...
I'm Andrew.
And we actually have a special guest today. So if you've been a long listener of the podcast, you don't know this guest maybe, but we have talked about him on here. So it's all been good. Don't worry about it. But go ahead and say hi, Jesse.
Hey, what's going on? What up?
So Jesse, some of you might know him as Milky Loke. So we always talk about all his fire soul that he likes to spin. So we actually finally got him here today. So we're really excited for this interview. And before we start, I just want to go ahead and highlight a few things really quick. Let me go ahead and give out the Instagram. It's Just Keep Spinning Podcast. Our email is justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to say you love us, you hate us. If you want to send us music and say put my music on there, please feature me, because we do have some stuff that we are going to be incorporating pretty soon. And even if you just have suggestions or questions about anything, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, CastBox, Audio Boom. And if you go to our Instagram, the Audio Boom link is actually in the profile. So it's a quick, easy way to listen to us. And if you are following us and you like on a podcast platform, please subscribe, rate, and review, because that definitely does help us very much. And a few things I wanted to highlight was on February 9th, it's going to be the Mujeres Mercado at Fairtrade Cafe. So that's a big event that's coming up that we're really excited about. So basically, it's just a bunch of vendors and a bunch of, you know, women, mujeres, you know, they get together and they sell all this cool stuff that they make, whether it's their art and stuff like that. So definitely go out and support that. Another event is on February 17th and on March 24th. So this event is on two separate days. And it's at the west side of Hans Park. And it's actually going to be DJ High Dreams. And it's presented by Ballast Point and Pacifico. And basically, it just looks like it's like a kickback boogie in the park.
I think that's something that's completely different from what most people are doing.
Yeah.
Everyone just wants to play like bars and shit.
Yeah, and it says, like, you can bring your kids, and it says, like, bring a blanket, bring, you know, frisbees and everything, so it's, like, a big family gathering, so I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that's super tight.
So yeah.
B-boys and stuff, too, like, getting down.
Exactly, stuff like that.
But, yeah, like, a real boogie in the park, that's tight.
So I'm excited for that, and I guess there's going to be, you know, obviously vendors and food trucks, but you can bring your own stuff if you want to, so it's just a big event for the community. And nice. The last event I wanted to highlight was on February 10th, which is a Sunday, at Chacha's Tea Lounge. Crate Creepers will be playing there, and we'll be playing some love jams from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. So go ahead and come out and say hi to us. It's over there on Grand Avenue, and I'll finally be able to bust out some of my R&B slow jams and play them and not put people to sleep.
So is that a Saturday or a Sunday?
It's a Sunday. So I'm excited about
Sunday
that.
On a Sunday night.
So I'm excited for that.
Knocking the boot.
I have that. Yeah. I will play that.
Got to bring out favorite. The art of noise.
The art of noise.
You have to go into that. It's somewhere up there.
Nice. It's in there somewhere.
That's a good one, too.
It very much is. And pickups. So pickups. Have you had any pickups, Andrew?
We just picked up the Tim. Is it Tim Finn?
Not
Tim
Cali. Tim.
I don't know.
Tim Finn's. It's a bar.
Tim Finnegan's was a bar. It's not a bar anymore.
Yes, it is. It's over there on 59th and Bell.
Oh, well.
By my brow girl.
I can't remember his name. Something Finnegan.
Kelly.
Kelly?
K-E-L-L-Y. Like Kelly, Kelly Slater or Kelly
Finn. Oh, Kelly Finnegan. His 7-inch on Coal Mine. I just picked that up.
Okay. Nice.
It's purple.
And that's all I've gotten.
And I just got a 7-inch as well. It's by the Deers. It's called Money Babies. And it's just like some indie stuff that came out in like 2008. So I was excited to find that because it's not rare. You just don't see it all the time. So, Jesse, have you had any pickups?
Yeah, I've had a couple come in. I mean, when I come home from work and I got 5 or 6, you know, boxes with eBay or whatever on them. But I just picked up the Fabulous Four, which is a good record from Mike Noriega. Some of you might probably follow him. Big heavy hitter. 45 records, RPM records on IG, Noriega Records. Real good dude. Picked up Miss Cooper on Note. I mean, it's... I'm always trying to look for new stuff and trying to... Like I was telling Andrew, I'm kind of... All these new things are dropping, all these new releases, you know, and it's kind of like, I'm kind of just building my... arsenal of a lot of the older stuff and different genres. Yeah. And it's like, man, I want to get, you know, I want to buy, you know, the new shit. And, you know, I want to, you know, pre-order the, you know, Lee Fields that just dropped and all that. And it's like, nah, wait a minute. I got to stay away from that. I'm trying to focus on, you know, if I'm going to drop, you know, $20, $30 on two copies or something, you know what I mean? I could drop that $30, $40 record on money on something that's rare that, you know, not everybody hasn't heard or something like that. So that's kind of like more of what I'm doing now. Instead of like every coal mine drop that's dropping, you know what I mean? I'm just like, oh, I'll just put it towards something rare.
Yeah, you're like, instead of buying like two or like four 45s on coal mine or whatever, you're like, I can buy one that I really, really, really want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, when you're on, when you go on those sites, I always feel like you want to buy more because you have to pay that $5 in shipping. Mm-hmm. Even when I go on Discogs, I'm like, let's see what else this store has, because I really don't want to pay $5 for one fucking record, because I really have a hard problem doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've like really kind of like the rare release ones, like the colored vinyl ones or something like that, are only like issued, like let's say like 10 or 300 only pressed. Like I'll order maybe like two or three copies. Then I'll sit on them for a while. Like, I'm not one of those dudes, like, I never like sell my stuff online. Like, I just rather keep it or sell it to someone, like a homie or something, you know,
or trade,
or trade, something like that. Yeah. If I have doubles, you know, if it's really something I'm just like, it just sits and just gets neglected. Like, I won't like, and I don't play it, I'll slang it for like dirt cheap just to, you know.
You just want to get rid of it.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, kind of, I only buy multiple copies if it's like something that's only been pressed a certain amount of times. I won't, like if it's limited, you know. And then,
yeah.
Other than that, I'll just, sometimes if I get asked out and I barely find out that something's dropping and, you know, pre-order it, and then, you know, all that's left is like a black vinyl, like I'll get one copy and then I'll get lucky and think, well, the homies are like, hey, dog, like I got another colored one. Like if you want it, like, I'll just sell to you for what I got it for. Like, all right, cool, you know, homie hookup.
Exactly.
So. Well, I think that's the best thing to do. I mean, there's a lot of these collectors out here who are like, oh, I have like that Nico and the Soul Chants. I seen fools selling that shit for $100.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and fools are buying it. Yeah. Motherfuckers are buying that fucking record. And I was like, oh, God, I paid like $12 with shipping for that record, and you're selling it for $100. That is absolutely not cool.
And you know what they're gonna do? They're gonna do the same thing that when Dreamin' is for free, or with the that one release,
Ben Pirani.
Yeah,
like, yeah, they're gonna repress it.
It repressed. Like, people are gonna kick themselves in the ass when they buy that record, that, you know, Soul Chants for $100, and they're gonna repress it, and they're gonna do another run on it because they've seen how much money they made off of it. They're gonna do it in another 6 months, you know, or something like that. And they're gonna be like, "Damn, I'm an idiot. I just dropped $100 on this, and they just repressed it."
Well, and sometimes they do it on purpose, like for hype. So they'll do like that small limited release to gauge it. But even though they know there's like pretty good demand for it, so it creates the hype of like the resellers, and then they're like, "Oh, but guess what? We're releasing it again." So then they flock and mm-hmm. then they go buy it. It's like, to me, it's just like, can't you just make enough copies available? It's just kind of silly sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. It's like with like that Lakesiders. Like, I mean, dope ass record, super tight. But I mean, the only thing that's different is like the label. Like,
yeah, I mean, I bought a copy of it so I can keep my original, not play it out. That's the only reason why I bought a copy, not to slang them.
Yeah. And people were doing that. They're buying like 10, 15 copies, and it's like,
like really? Did it sell out?
I don't know. I mean, I heard that it did, but it's what? Like, you know, I to be honest, I mean, I bought two copies, but the only reason why I bought two copies the very first time was because, you know, one obviously gets played like a lot, and, you know, you always have that backup, you know what I mean? In case something that shit's happens sold out. Or, yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of like, it's like certain records that, I mean, it's like hit or miss, like buying doubles, triples, you know. So everybody's
to each his own. Was buying that, what's his face?
I can't remember his name.
I'm not sure.
Rose Gold.
Jason Joshua.
Mm. The gold print. Mm-hmm. And I know someone was selling it. I was like, how much are you selling that? They're like, oh, I'm asking 50 for it. And I was like, okay, you can keep on trucking because he's going to repress that. And then got it repressed again.
When we had the OG copy.
And again.
So we were like.
And again. Okay. They're not going to say, yeah. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just saying we had an OG copy, so I was just like, you're curious because you're like, oh, I'd like to have it, but you're like, not at that much of a markup when you're just like an individual flipper. It's not like you're a store or something like that, especially.
And that's like the same people that like do it like with same thing like with Jordans. Like Jordan's release, like I was like a big Jordan head like back in the day, you know, then when they started like, you know, dropping like, you know, certain drops, it was like, oh man, like I haven't had these since I was like a kid. And you're going and getting them, and then, you know, like my lady wanted a size, you know what I mean? So I got her a size. But you're kind of like, damn, like you're seeing on Craigslist what they're going for, and people are buying shoes for, you know, $180. 6 months later, these shoes are going for like $500. Like, and people are buying them. Like, are you serious? And you know what's crazy? The same fucking shoes just dropped again, like fucking 2 years ago.
Yeah, two or three years. Yeah, yeah.
Like, and then they got restocked, and then they're releasing them again. Yeah, it's just,
yeah, it sucks. It's just crazy. Like, I think what it is, people just, they get pulled into the, bless you, brother.
I'm,
you good?
I stopped that one.
I think they just get pulled into the hype. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like just one of those things. Like, just be patient. And, you know, because I see records that are like super fire, super heat. And I see it and it's like Evil Bay or like Discogs, outrageous price. And you're like, dude, this motherfucker wants like $180 for this shit, and it's like G conditioned, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, and the same record will pop up like for $20, like VG.
I see.
And as soon as you get on it, it's already gone already. You just got to be on it.
Sipping a cup of coffee. I just seen that popped up on my my Discogs want list. $150 for like a VG minus copy, and I was like, you know, that thing is fucking fuck that.
I mean,
so if it was like VG plus, I might even think about it. But something that's not at least VG plus, I'm not doing it. Because I just bought that Karen Small, and I only paid like $15 for it, and it was VG. And I was like, okay, no. And I was like, oh, surface noise, whatever.
You take the gamble a little bit.
I took the gamble, I paid the money, and then I get it, and then it fucking skips. Also,
but no matter what he does, whether he adjusts the weight, he's cleaned it, he's done everything, and it's still like at the exact same part. So it's obviously deep in the groove, the whatever's in there, and it just, it's pretty much just...
I was just like, man, now this is basically a piece of that. And so I contacted the buyer.
$15 coaster.
Yeah, $15 coaster. Something I put on my wall.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing, too, is that if, like, when I went to the swap last week, I found, like, some heat, but it was, like, super scratched up. Like, I know for sure it wouldn't play. But it's just like, you know what? I'm just going to just frame it and put it in, you know what I mean? And there's actually a dude that I seen on IG, I don't know if it was Ricky77 or, I don't know, somebody. But he had, like, five or six 45s that were all heat, but they were, like, stupid, scratched up, damaged. And he was like, these aren't even playable, but they made good, like, wall decoration. And he had, like, all of them in, like, one frame, like, it lined up.
Yeah, I seen the same. I seen that. Follow that IG account. I don't know who it is, but, yeah, I don't turn
it. Isn't that who you bought the records from before?
I bought some from Ricky77.
That's what you did.
A sack from him.
Yeah, so it's... I mean, it's hit or miss. I mean, once if you're patient, I mean, I know a lot of guys that have been waiting like 5-10 years just to get hands on a record, you know, and till the price is right. You know, it's really up to you. I mean, I know my wife's probably going to be listening to this. I don't want to say no prices or nothing like that, but I mean, I've paid some light bills and some water bills on records. You know what I mean? So it's,
you got SRP or APS? Because that makes a big difference.
I'm from Maryville. We got the damn SRP, the pay as you go. Right?
The Empower.
That's where it's at. No taxes on there.
Yep. You ain't paid no motherfucker to come out read your meter. Nothing.
Yep. Exactly. So, but I mean, it's really one of those things of how deep are you into it and your passion, you know? So if you're really getting into it, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where you're like, oh, well, damn, that's heat. I don't care what the condition is, you know, I'll get the record. But once you get more into collecting and more into the passion, you care about the condition. You care about the sound. You care about, you know, all those things all play a role. Like, because if me, I don't get anything less than like a VG plus. Like it's either VG plus or mint. like excellent.
You know you want to really enjoy the record you're playing.
Yeah. And if people are going to play it out, you want everybody to enjoy it too. Not saying that having an original copy isn't bad, or having a VG copy is horrible, but...
Or something with maybe like a pop here, you know, little noise or whatever.
But when something has like a lot of noise, it is distracting.
Yeah. And a lot of people... They like that. They like that old sound. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, I like the popping, the crackle. But once you get more into, like, you know, investing into it and actually really getting deep into it, it's more of you're listening to it for the quality. You know what I mean? Not actually, well, the song is a big part of it too, and the sound, but just the quality of the record in general. Because it's like, you know, I'm not going to go drop $50-$60 on this and it, you know, pops and cracks. You know, I'll just wait. And if I see one mint condition for $100, I'll get it. You know, not only does it last longer, but again, it's an investment. You know, it's something that you know is going to, you know, for me in the long run, my records are something that I want to pass down to my son, my youngest, because he loves it. So it's something that to where when I'm long gone, that's something he can share with his kids, you know. So I don't want to be passing down G+ records. You know what I mean? Like, damn, this
they're gonna end up in the Goodwill.
Yeah,
these like, things are fucked up.
Yeah, like, damn, how many times did my dad play this? But I mean, it's kind of one of those things. But again, it's, and I kind of got turned on to that from a lot of like the heavy hitters. You know, they were really the ones that were like, bro, if you're gonna, you know, drop $300-$400 on a record, you know, I know guys that drop $1,100-$1,200 on a record, and you know, to make sure that you're paying, you know, it's your hard-earned money, you know, make sure you invest into something, you know, that you want. The condition is mint, you know, VG plus, you know, something that the condition is going to last a long time, and the quality of the sound is, you know, the pureness of it.
So I have a question. So do you ever really purchase anything from the 70s?
Actually, I do.
So do you know by chance what the number one song was on the day you were born? Take a guess. So think it was...
On the day that I was born or the year?
The day. So it's middle of summer. We're going to paint a picture. Dead summer in Arizona. July's the hottest month.
Fucking ass sweat all day, every day.
Yeah. And my mom was like 16 when she had me. My dad was 17.
So this is the 80s, so it's a kind of funky time. You know, it could be anything, really, because the 80s is all over the place.
I'm ready to say like Jesse's Girl or something like that.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I know, right?
Actually, it was Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen.
Damn, really?
7784.
7784.
Really?
Do you know the number one song? So
excited.
When you were there was something online going around that when the song number one song on whatever the Hot 100
and the top 40
song when you were 14 defines your life. Do you know what that song is?
No.
So we always do the top 10 on it. So I'll do the top 10.
He's gonna count.
And so this is 1998. Bullworth, the soundtrack. It's just a song.
So this is on your birthday when you're 14.
I remember that movie. Bullworth.
Shania Twain, Come On Over was number 9. Number 8 was Will Smith, Big Willie Style.
God, nice. Wow.
Number 7 was Backstreet Boys.
This isn't the songs. This is albums.
No, these are the songs.
No, because Backstreet Boys didn't have a song called Backstreet Boys.
Did I mess it up, man?
No. And I was like, come on over, it's an album.
No. These are just... Yeah.
But Backstreet Boys doesn't have a song called Backstreet Boys.
I don't know what to tell you, but this is it.
All right. Okay,
Godzilla. Godzilla, like, I think it's like the title track for the Godzilla movie.
What is it called, Godzilla?
The album. I don't get it.
Because it's the albums, it's not the songs. I'm telling
you. Okay. So look. So let's skip ahead. Number 3 was Brandy. Say never say never. So is never say never an album?
Yes, is it an album.
And she would know.
Yeah. Right, I was listening to the damn radio. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me readjust because I think I fucked this up.
It's all good, but that's a surprise, right? That's a surprise. Well, we know. So now you get to gauges, right? So he's gonna do the top 10 songs. So you knew some of the albums, right? It was the boy band stuff with Backstreet. There was Shania. There was the Godzilla soundtrack.
That was porn. I completely clicked on wrong shit.
So like, I was like, wait, hold on. When you said Bullworth,
you
I was
got
like,
one task, Andrew.
Seriously, this is my one segment. I fucked it up bad.
No, you're
actually
good.
So the number one song on The Day You Were Born wasn't Bruce Springsteen Born in the USA.
That was the number one album.
That was the number one album. But the number one song during that time period was Prince, When Doves Cry.
Okay.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
July 7th, 1984. All right, now let me readjust this to the fucking right dates.
Yeah, that's cool. Heck yeah.
And then
you're like it's classic. I can dig it. All yeah. Right. I'm not disappointed.
All right, so this is live. There were screenshots on this. All right. Number 10, Everybody, Backstreet Boys.
There you go. Yes.
Number 9, John B. They Don't Know. Number 8, Mariah Carey, My All. Number 7, Puff Daddy featuring Jimmy Page, Come With Me. That's the Godzilla soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Number 6, Sarah McLachlan, Adia? A-D-I-A?
Adia.
Number 5, Madonna, Ray of Light. Number 4, Usher, My Way. I know you know that song.
Everybody knows that song.
Number 3, Next, Too Close.
I know, everybody knows that song.
Everybody knows that one, too. Number 2 is Shania Twain, You're Still the One. And number 1, When You're 14 Years Old.
Take a guess. Take a just stab in the dark. You can give him a hint.
1998.
So he mentioned one of the albums when on the last list that he thought was songs.
Yeah. It's got to be...
And it's a woman.
Oh, it's a chick?
Yeah, well, I would say it's two. It's a duet. When he says it, if you don't guess it when he says it, you're going to be like, damn it, I knew that.
I don't know. Fill me in.
Go ahead.
It's The Boy's Mind, Brandy and Monica.
Dang, heck yeah. I was watching that video the other day too. I was like, we were watching on Sante and my lady was like, man, that's classic right there.
I mean, we go back and watch like YouTube videos of like these classic 90 videos and they're like some of them are like so overdone and dramatic and it's so awesome. I love it.
Yeah, my daughter likes Busta Rhymes because his music videos are all, you know, they're out mm-hmm. there. So she's like, he's so cool. And Missy Elliott, because you know,
yeah,
the concepts.
Too, yeah.
So she loves all that stuff. So with that being said, I do have a question. So are you from Arizona and Phoenix or?
Yeah. Phoenix, Arizona, born and raised straight out of Maryvale, 59th Ave and Thomas, my whole life. Yeah. Yep.
So was music a big thing in your house growing up?
Yeah. Really, like, soul and funk were a big thing in my house. Like, my mom was more of, like, the soul and the oldies and East Side Stories and things like that. My dad was more of, like, 70s funk, you know, KC and his Sunshine Band, Rick James, Barcase, stuff like that. So it was like best of both worlds, you know. So I think what it is that I guess you can say I'm torn between both of them because I know a lot of both sides of them. But on a collecting standpoint, like I do have funk, but I do have a lot more soul.
That's where your heart's at.
Yeah. And it's just because of the certain sounds, the certain, I guess you can say it's the passion, you know, in the singer's voice and stuff like that, and just the instruments and things like that too, with a lot of, you know, classic soul, things like that is more of like organs and trumpets and horns and things like that. When more funk is like bass and more like keyboard, you know, more like synthesizer.
Yeah,
type.
Driven. Yeah, no, yeah, that's yeah. exactly so, what you're saying.
But I mean, it's kind of one of those things that I've always, from being young, it was a big thing. Like, you know, if I'm in the house, my mom's cooking in the kitchen, you know, blasting oldies, and I'm going outside, and my dad's, you know, with my deals and then playing cards, drinking beer, bumping funk, you know, so it's kind of like, you know. And that's one thing about my dad is that when he hears me play oldies and soul and stuff like that, like he's kind of into it, but then he's like, man, change this shit, you know, like, don't you got something else? Like what do you want to hear? He's like Rick James, some Barcase, man, some throw it down. I'm like, all right. So
he's an upbeat guy.
Yeah, exactly. And my mom is more of, you know, when she's at the house and, you know, she'll play some of your records, you know, and so it's just, again, it's best of both worlds, so.
That's good, though, because we always say that your parents were, like, the foundations for kind of your musical taste, and so when you were growing up, because I know a lot of people say that, like, especially when I talk to a lot of, like, soul collectors and stuff like that, they're... especially when they're, like, super deep into it. They're like, I always liked it, and it was in my life, especially at the beginning. They're like, but I went through my own journey, too, and it kind of, like, made my way back to it. So is there other stuff that you listened to, like, during high school or when you were younger? Like, did you listen to the radio? Because I know, obviously, like, the big radio station on the west side here would have been, like, Power 92.
Yeah. I mean, I listened to the radio, I mean, a little bit, but... being that when I was younger, I got heavy, like, in the graffiti and stuff like that, and, you know, skating, you know, skateboarding, things like that, and got sponsored and was doing a lot of, like, the skateboarding and graffiti thing at the same time. So I kind of was getting more into, like, the underground hip-hop stuff, you know, when I was, like, 14 through, like, you know, even, like, mid-20s, you know, still... you know, I'm a fan of a lot of the underground stuff, but a lot of, like, the older underground stuff, you know, like old Tumex, Sage Francis, you know.
Did you ever hang out at Desert West?
Oh, that was, like, my second home right
there. I used to hang out there, too, because yeah. I used to skateboard, and my brother skateboarded, so we had all of our little friends.
Yeah.
And we used to skateboard there. So I have a question. Did you skateboard regular, Goofy, or Mongo?
I skated regular. I mean, it's... that's one thing is that I guess I'm kind of like OCD in certain ways. So when I skated, like if I did like a 5-stair double set or, you know, just whatever I was doing, that if I landed the trick and I did it sloppy, I was like, nah, like I'm going to do it again.
It's like, not good enough.
It's not good enough. Like I'm not, you know, because a lot of like the videos I seen when I was younger was like a lot of like Shorties Fulfill a Dream, like a lot of like the ES, like the girls skate team, the chocolate skate team.
Did you ever watch Chomp on This?
Yeah.
I used to love that one.
Yeah. That I actually had that on VHS.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know what happened. Like, I think one of my boys or something, like it just.
Some of those are worth money now. Those skate videos, those older ones like that.
Yeah. And I'm still like trying to find like my Shorties Fulfill a Dream. Like, that's super old, and they never did it on DVD. They never. I know they did Osiris the Storm. I think they did that like on DVD. But Shorty's Fulfill a Dream was like a big one. Like that was like Chad Muska, Peter Smolik, like all those guys that were like in their prime, like when Shorty's was like running the game back in the day. So it's just.
So did you ever get turned on to any music in the videos? Because I know I did when I would watch it and I'd be like, what's that? And they'd have the credits and I'd be like, oh, I got to listen to that.
Yeah.
Do you ever do that?
Yeah, I did that. And that's like when I was getting like more into like the underground hip hop stuff, they would have like a lot of the underground stuff. So around that time, I believe Napster was cracking off around that time. So I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like Gravediggers. Like, I'm going to go look that shit up. Like stealing this shit right now. Like that's when Napster was like on point. You know what I mean?
Oh man. The good old days of downloading music.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it was crazy is that I have a hard drive, like a whole tower at my house that I've been plugged in like years. That's got like, oldies, funk, underground hip hop, like old ass like Pennywise, NoFX, like a lot of like old like punk stuff that I haven't even pulled out. I'm like, man, I want to just burn them to CDs and just play them, you know. But yeah, there's some good shit on there.
I mean, well, even like, you know, obviously like you have access to that with like streaming services, but it's nothing like, you know, like, well, obviously back in the 2000s, early 90s, is like buying the CD and then putting it in your CD player. Or like when like the 2003, 2004 is when I was driving, like putting it in the CD player in my car with my really like Walmart $40 CD player with my, my Walmart $20 speakers.
Yeah.
And it sounds god awful, but I put it as loud as I can. And I think, you know, but you're like, yeah, this is so awesome. But
life is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I never really bought CDs. Like, honestly, like...
Did you burn them? Is that why? Did you make your own mixes?
Or would you, like, were you, like, a cassette straight into, like, downloads?
I would... A lot of stuff that I downloaded from, like, Napster and LimeWire and stuff like that, I burned CDs of, like, my own stuff. But a lot of stuff that was on CD, I mean, we used to go free 99, five-finger discount our shit. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, set your limitations. Don't worry about it. You can tell us about it.
All right.
At
so,
the warehouse?
And I'm not gonna say a certain store, record store that we used to go to and used to come up on these, but I used to get a lot of like underground hip hop CDs, and I mean, my boys would go in there, we would come out like with 20, 30 CDs, like this stuff, sick shit, like, you know, but I mean, from that time, like that was like big, you know, doing clothes runs and skating and graffiti and drinking and not having no cares, you know. And
so the crew that you ran with, did you guys have like a name or a moniker or anything like that?
Yeah, actually, I'm not an active member anymore, but I'm a proud member of HBM. So give a big shout out to my boys. I mean, they're definitely doing it. You know, I mean, they're still active, definitely putting in a lot more work. And those guys are all beasts and animals. From tattooing to, you know, still active bombing to doing, you know, legal stuff. And, you know, me, I'm not active anymore as much as I want to be. But, I mean, I've kind of steered away from and kind of put a lot of my time into, like, collecting records and a lot more family time and the lowrider stuff. And so
what was the first record that you can recall buying?
The first,
or did you get like inherit any, or did you just kind of start it on your own?
A lot of the records that I first got were like funk records that I had got, from my mom and dad. Like, it was like Rick James stuff, like Tina Marie, things like that.
Classics.
Yeah. And, my mom used to have the whole set of the East Side Stories back in the day, because I remember seeing them. I remember, you know, and I'd asked her about them. I was like, "Where's those records at?" What? She's like, "I don't know where they're at," and you know, and I'm just
she's like, "I don't know what the hell happened."
Yeah, she's like, "I don't even remember what even happened to those," you know, and it's like, you know how much money those are worth now? Like, it's so crazy.
Yeah, at least $100 per record.
And I was telling, yeah. And even she's like, "I think I got those records," because she's like, "I collected them all." She's like, "I think for each one, I think she paid, I think like $5-6 back then." But my first record that I got on 45 was Stillwaters, the Four Tops. It's just a soulful record. It's got some meaning to it, you know, the words, the lyrics. But I've been into a lot of soul and stuff like that now for quite some time, but actually digging deeper into it, like the Rare stuff, probably I've been like the past 4 or 5 years probably. And it's just because of the fact that actually following labels, you know, actually following history of groups.
Like educating yourself.
Yeah,
more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the reason why is because you gotta pay dues to the big dogs. You know, if you're gonna get into the game, you have to learn and educate yourself. You know, because if somebody wants to conversate with you about one of your records, you gotta obviously know what you have and, you know, what's kind of behind it. You know, and it's one of those things. A lot of the, you know, heavy hitters, you know, that kind of turned me on to certain things, certain songs. I'm like, man, like it's certain songs raise your hairs on your arms, you know, they give you goosebumps. And there's certain sounds of certain instruments that hit you a certain way. So when you can dig into the trenches of where those songs came from and finding those sounds and going off of those groups, that era, that year, especially those labels, you know, those record companies. I mean, it's crazy. It opens up a whole nother game. And that's what I mean when I had told you about certain records and you were like, dude, that's dope. I mean, it's certain genres, certain sounds, certain, you know, it's not just a lot of the dudes that are collecting like out of LA, you know, there's a certain style of songs of soul and stuff that are out of Texas, you know, and
that's a whole other chapter.
Yeah. And
especially when you go into like the Chicano soul stuff.
Exactly. And, I was just telling another collector the other day that, you know, a lot of the stuff that I'm starting to get into is a lot of the Chicano stuff, you know. And I have some, but it's just once you start, again, picking at one wound, you kind of like open up the scab a little bit more and you're like, oh, you're finding out more things. And, you know, again, then you'll bounce back. And then once you find a couple like gospel records, and you're like, man, like this. Then you start picking at that scab. And you're like, dude, this is dope. You know, and then we start going into like samples, a lot of like the deep stuff, you know, like a lot of the samples, like for instance, like the Woo samples and a lot of that stuff, that to where you get more into that, you know, it's like, whoa, damn, this is crazy, you know. And then you still kind of go to where it all began, you know, in the doo-wop, you know, and you find certain doo-wop things. And it's just like, there's so many different genres. And even like the 70s stuff is really dope, you know, 70s soul. And when you're digging in the 45s, familiarizing yourself with labels, groups, and really looking at the dates, the year of the record, it has that sound too. Because I mean, a lot of the stuff that I like getting is like 60s, like early 60s, mid 60s, late 60s, and then early 70s. I mean, because it again has that totally different sound. So it's kind of just exploring all areas of the game.
It's like you open one door and you're like, oh, wait, there's another one. And you're like, I got to go back because I got to go through the other door
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
Yeah, one of the records you had played when you played at Zia was that Munzo's record, was the last track you played. And it was such a dark soul record. And it was like, man, that was fucking dope. It was completely different, like a different version of like dark soul, which mm-hmm. I've never really heard. But mm-hmm. just like the tone of it. Like, you really set the tone with certain songs like that.
Yeah.
And, like, I was like, oh, I wonder if I can find that. So I was looking it up and stuff. I found it for everything. But, like, I want to find more music like that. But so you had to start, like you said, just start picking away at it and see what you can find.
Yeah.
Similar to it.
Yeah. And again, another popular song, which some people might know that has that sound, is The Webs. You know, Hard to Break a Habit. You know, that's another killer song that just everybody's like, dude, that song is like, you know. And that's a $200-$400 record. You know, some people, you know, if you get lucky, you'll find it for $100-$150. But that's another one of those songs that just like a dagger in your chest, you know, it's just, it gets you. And a lot of those songs that have that effect, you know, they're up there, you know, but that shouldn't discourage anybody, you know, because some people are like, well, damn, that's a badass song, but I'm not going to go drop that cash on there. You might get lucky and find that 145 in a heap of shit that has that sound that hasn't even been discovered yet, that hasn't even been surfaced, that somebody's like, dude, what, that's sick. How much did you get that for? Where'd you find that at? You know, oh, that I found that in some antique shop in Oklahoma for like 50 cents. And it just, one person plays it, puts it on the internet or puts it out there so the next person hears it and the next person hears it, and then all of a sudden it just blows up. Like all these records that are surfacing that are crazy outrageous prices that are getting known and popular, somebody discovered them at some time and just blew them up. Because a lot of the YouTube channels that like I followed, you know, years ago that was playing a lot of the rare stuff, and I would go into the comments and read the comments, you know, I mean, stuff like that, and people were finding these records like all day for like $15-$20. This was like 5-6 years ago. And now they're like $200-$300 because they're getting a little bit more rare to find, you know. Like Steven, the homie Steven, Imperial Soul. I mean, he's got heat, and I mean, my hat's off to that dude. I mean, he's a heavy hitter. He's ran with the big dogs. In my eyes, he's one of those dudes that he's, I mean, I pay dues to that dude. And he's got heat that a lot of my homies in LA have, and they all kind of got him from like the same time, the same person, the same, you know. So it's not one of those records like the Egyptians record. You know, I remember him telling me, I think he'd found it in, I think, Oklahoma somewhere, and he had like 5 or 6 copies, sold them, slanged them. Probably got them for dirt cheap. I didn't ask the price. But now it's hard as hell to find one of those records, and they're going for like $200-$300 easy. And it's like, dude, it's nuts. It's crazy. But it's just, again, you might find that one record that's just like, dude, you know, could be the next super banger that could be, who knows? There might only be 10 copies ever made from some basement, you know, record label in like Ohio or the Midwest, and you just found, you know, one copy, and you go search it. You know, even like there's even like a Texas Soul, I think I found, I forgot the name of the group, but I tried to do like some history on it and all that, and I was like, there's nothing on these guys, nothing on this label, nothing on any of that. It's got an okay sound, you know, but it's different. And the guy that I bought it from was actually the old timer Jim at one of the record swaps, and he's like, oh yeah, that's an old garage group like out of Texas, you know. And it was like, I got that record for, I think, 50 cents, like one of his like crap piles. But just something like that, you know, it's...
Yeah, that's like, we have a 45 that was gifted to us by Aaron, and it's an Arizona soul, but like Chicano soul. And it's like, it's beautiful. Like when he's like, I think, so he just told us, here, you guys can have this. I think you guys will really like it. I think it suits, I love it, but I think it suits you more than me. So I'm just going to go ahead, give it to you.
Nice.
So we came home and we played it, and I was like, holy shit, this is like, I played it, we probably played it like 5 times in a row because it was that good. And we played it at once, right?
Yeah. So it's a Sweet Soul track, has a little bit of like spoken Spanish in the Sweet Soul track towards the end of it. And then the B side, it's just a straight Spanish song, like, you know, your typical ranchera style song.
Nice. But,
excuse me. It was really neat to hear. And we couldn't find shit on this. And there's no date on it.
It's locally. It's from,
and it's from Arizona. So we were like, oh, you know, that's super dope, because finding anything here in Arizona, and it was mint.
Yeah.
He gave us like a mint copy of it. There's no noise on it. And he's like, oh, yeah, I found it when I was digging over at some random thrift store, and it was there. He's all, I bought it, and I thought it would suit you guys. He's like, I don't know how much it's worth. I can't find anything on it. So good luck. You can have it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but it's like shit like that. I don't know. It's a dope song, but I don't know if anybody else is going to enjoy it, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really nice song. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a big thing too, is I think what people get caught up in is not only in like the collecting, but when they're playing music as well too, is, you know, I like it, but is everybody else going to like it too? It's like, who gives a fuck what everybody else thinks? You know?
Play it for you.
Play it for you. And it's like, when people get a record, they're like, oh, I'm going to kill the game with this one. Oh, man, I'm gonna play this one when I, you know, oh, I'm going to kill them with this. And it's like, who cares, dude? Like, you know what I mean? You should be getting it for yourself, you know, because one thing about me is I haven't really been playing at certain spots or certain areas and things like that because I've been a lot busy doing other things, but because I don't want to burn myself out either, you know, and I have a whole arsenal of just records that I have, but I'll just sit back in my living room and like crack open a beer and just play my jams and just sit in my living room and just listen to them and just maybe take a trip down memory lane and reminisce about the old times when I was younger and things like that. And, you know, on top of that, my son, my youngest, he loves oldies. He loves soul. And that's a big thing for him, is that when I play the songs, he comes running. He starts just dancing, jamming out, and he'll spend the whole time in there while I'm spinning records. And that's like his thing, is like, Dad, are you going to play some songs? Are you going to play some songs, Dad? Can we play some songs? Like, yeah, let's go. So it's like my oldest, he's Fortnite, Call of Duty, you know, he's, you yeah. know what I mean? But my youngest is that he was really the one that is always with me all the time. So I, ever since he was young, like younger, I exposed him to a lot of that. Like, wouldn't listen to the radio, wouldn't listen, you know, in my car, it would be nothing but soul and funk, souls, mainly soul, but, that's what he knows. So when he hears that, it, there's even certain songs that, oh, what song was he singing the other day? He was singing After Laughter by Wendy Renee. And he was singing along with it. Like, he knows, like, for me playing them as much as I do, like, he knows the songs. You know, he's barely even 5 years old. So it's...
because he has that positive connection to it, because he associates it, that's my dad. I spend time with my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad stays home with me, and we spin records, and I hang out with my dad. So,
yeah.
And like you're saying, but if you're constantly out there, you're like, I'm not connecting with him because I'm sharing with other people, not my own family.
Exactly, exactly. And that's to where my collection is. I want it to grow and build it even more for an inheritance for him. You know, for something that when he grows up, obviously he's going to be more and more exposed to it, but being able, like, man, these are my dad's records. These are something that I can pass on to my kids. And that's one thing, is obviously it's a sentimental thing for one. But again, a lot of my memories with my mom and dad are those, that type of music, you know, those songs, those, you know, certain times of, you know, all your cousins are coming over and, you know, your mom and dad are, you know, playing dominoes in the kitchen, and everybody's drinking and smoking and having a good old time. And you're like, hell yeah, we're staying up till fucking 3 a.m. tonight.
Yo. You know what I mean? So, see, with my family, it was always P-Funk. So there would always be some George Clinton or some Parliament on, and they'd be blasting that shit, and they'd be getting super drunk. Yep. And just playing cards. That was my family too.
Yeah. So it was like every time, like, my deals would come over, or, you know, my cousins would come. So I knew that when they were kicking it all night, I was like, hell yeah, no bedtime tonight. We're fucking,
you know what I mean? Running wild and free. It's
fucking Little Caesars, Bigfoot pizzas, and fucking Tales from the Crypt all night.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly, so it's like,
hell yeah. You know?
No Bigfoot pizza.
And Tales from the Crypt.
I swear to God, only like kids from the 90s, like grew up in the 90s, know about Bigfoot pizzas.
Yeah.
Every time we go to California, my aunt, like, as soon as we get there, we always get there like at night. It'll be like 8 o'clock, and my aunt would just come over with two big-ass Bigfoots and be like, here, kids.
But isn't it crazy that, like, when you think about it back then, and you think, like, damn, like, you know, your cousins come over, you know, your family, your parents, you know, are all kicking out, you know, doing the OG things, dominoes, cards, smoking, drinking, playing oldies, bumping funk, you know, having a good time. And they're like, all right, here's the fucking pizza, kids. And you know, yeah. Go to the fucking TV and pizza. Go, do your thing.
Whatever you guys want. Out of here. Yeah. We want to have a good time, not any damn kids around.
Yeah, and it's like, even to this day, like, if I'm sitting there, you know, and we're going to do something, or I got the garage open, and we're, you know, me and some of the homies out there drinking, having a good time, it's like, ladies, what are we going to do for dinner? Man, go get some fucking Little Caesars pizzas. And fucking all the kids and the homies' kids are in there. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just one of those things, man. It's crazy. But... You just really have to have that connection to the music in order, you know, to have that more of that passion and love for it. Because I know there are some collectors out there that, you know, collect because it's the in thing now, or that's the hype, that's what's cool right now. But if you really have that connection to where, like, damn, I haven't heard this song in a minute. I remember... you know, my mom waking my ass up at Sunday morning, vacuuming the fucking shit, telling me to get up and clean my fucking room, playing fucking Mary Wells, Two Lovers, you know what I mean? Like, damn, you know? So it's one of those things that you just...
Well, that's what I feel too, because I don't think there's anything wrong. Excuse me. To me, it's irrelevant how long someone's been collecting or how much they have, or if they have only expensive stuff. To me, it's genuinely about, like, when I meet people and they actually just literally love whatever music they're buying.
Exactly.
And I hate when people, like, put this whole weight on it of, like, Because I've met people too that are like, oh, you don't even know I got some fire. And to me, it's cool to flex and like to joke around sometimes. You know, we all have good sense of humor, whatever. But then yeah. I'll like go shopping with them, record shopping, or like I'll go to their house and stuff sometimes, you know, for little kickbacks or something. And then they're like, oh, like I see them barely just buying certain stuff that I'm like, you know, and it's not a judgmental thing, but I'm like, don't talk up your game so hard when you don't even know what exactly. some of the basic stuff is.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a sin. People steer away from it, from what it's really about. The love of it. The love of the music. Not of, oh, I got this heat, homie. I'm gonna kill him with this. And I was kind of laughing. I was talking to my buddy a while back about it. I said, because he said the same thing. He's like, man, people just kind of, and he's an old timer. People kind of steered away from the love of vinyl. Vinyl is, back then, was just the quality. That's like the purest quality of the sound you can get at that time. People, you know, are more just for the artist and that one song. You know, instead of digging, again, picking at that scab, like, well, did you know that that artist also had, you know, this song and this song and this song, you know? And what some people don't know is that, oh, yeah, I'm, you know, some guys that are, you know, into funk and stuff, I'm a big Rick James thing. Well, so am I, but did you know that back then Rick James used to sing doo-wop too? You know what I mean? It's one of those things that kind of just going a lot more into it, you know? And some people, they just, again, they have these egos that it's like, really, dude, it's not what it's about. But you guys are going to laugh. Again, back to the 90s.
we're all about the 90s in this house.
It's almost like when you say, oh, I got some fire, I got some heat. It's almost like comparing like to Pogs.
You yes! know what I mean? Yes!
Like, hey, I got the poison, homie.
The slammer does everything.
Yeah.
Like, when you pull up those full of those gigantic slammers, be like, I'll just drop this shit. It's like, that takes no skill.
And again, it goes back to the shittiest record. You might have that one person that's got like a $500 record, and they're just like, they play it, and they think, oh, this shit's sick, homie. Yeah, all right, yeah, it's cool. Like, yeah, I've heard it before. Like, yeah, that's tight. I give you props. You got that record. But here's my 50 cent record, and I'm going to kill him with this. And you play it, and it goes back to, you know, you got that one person that's got that badass slammer that's like, oh, homie, I got this shit at the parking swap. I paid like $10 for this. It's a fucking poison, homie. Like, you know what I mean? And I remember back in the day, I snatched up this fool's slammer, and he was pissed that his mom even came, was like, hey, you got to get him. And I snatched his shit up, and I ended up taking his shit and like, 10 pogs of his, and but he had like those fucking weird pogs, like the positive ones that said like no smoking on them and all that. Like, I was almost ready like to give them back, like, damn, homie, like, what the fuck, like, I don't want these, you know. And it was like, I ended up playing like with like a washer. It was like one of my dad's like washers, like to like his engine block or something, like a grade 8 like steel washer, and I fucking took all his shit. That's off that washer. It wasn't even a slammer, but that was my slammer. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But you make it work when you're
in made the- it work, bro. And he was like, oh, dude, he was so pissed. His mom even came, was like, hey, you know how much we paid for that? And I was like, well, that's the rules of the game. You know what I mean? But yeah. So she was like, well, where do you live at? And I was like, man, I'm not even going to get into it. So I just gave it back to him. Like, I'm not going to have this bitch and her son go all the way to my crib and get me in trouble. Because, you know what I mean?
Like, you're like, these pogs suck anyways.
Yeah, like, damn, fucking positive ass pogs. Like, hell
no.
No
smoking weed.
Yeah.
I like drugs.
I like the one with the skulls, with the snakes and the crazy ass shit, the hologram ones.
Yes.
So, but yeah, that's, I mean, it goes back to that
mentality.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I got the baddest shit. It's like, dude, really?
That is the perfect mentality, because that's also because they're round and... Yeah. It just works so well.
Yeah.
And is at least like when you're young or small, or even when you're in your like your teens or your early 20s, I'm like, all right, you still got time to grow. But to me, when you're a grown ass person doing that, I'm just like, you're a damn fool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm seeing so much stuff right now too, like online about, you know, oh, well, I think I've seen someone go, oh, watch out for the the vinyl detective or something like.
Oh, I saw that was the Ricky 77 posted that.
I was rolling when I seen that. People were like,
I literally was laughing.
Like really, and there's dudes like that. Like oh, like I pay homage and like I said, I give my hats off and give respect to a lot of the heavy hitters that have been collecting way longer than me, you know. And it's, I don't think I'm better than anybody else. But when I know there's dudes that have been in the game a lot longer than me, that I've discovered songs from their CDs that they put out years ago or their YouTube channels or something like that, like, then that's like, that's where I pay the dues. But a lot of these guys that kind of use that because they've been in the game for a long time, you know, to these guys that are barely starting out, like, oh, well, you don't know shit, homie. You know, do your homework. Da, 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 da. It's like, dude, give the dude a chance. You know what I mean? Like, at least he's paying the respect and giving you guys the respect that's is earned. You know what I mean? Don't sit there and knock the dude because he's rocking nothing but reissues, you know? It's like, now everybody, you know, everybody wants to be a soul collector. Everybody wants to collect rare soul. Everybody wants to, like, you know, what is, define rare soul. You know what I mean? Define, you know? So, and there's nothing wrong with reissues, you know, because I even have a couple of dudes that I follow that I, you know, I'm in contact with that they're heavy hitters and they have reissues. And the reason they have reissues is the same reason why I have reissues. It's like, I can't find the fucking original pressing, you know what I mean? But I'm not going to fucking wait until I hit the lottery to fucking find the damn thing. If I like that song and I want that song, I'm going to pay fucking $7 for the reissue. I don't give a shit. Because it's the song is what I'm after for, not the fucking label.
Not the fucking actual tenure. You just want the song. You don't give a... And, you know,
I don't care.
I see a lot of... There's a lot of people who are like that. They're like, oh, you know, I have an OG. It's like, oh, okay. Fucking good for you, bro. Yeah. Like, it's just like, I don't even understand it.
Yeah.
Dre runs into the same thing with her stuff, too.
Yeah, I run into some pretty interesting stuff. But that's why, like I said, I always tell people, you know, at the end of the day, it's about, do you like the music or not? And one of the interesting things, though, is that I was talking to one of the record store owners in the Valley one time, and he was telling me that... He's like, you know what's funny about the damn East Side stories? He's all, for years, and I mean years, he's like, those damn things would be in the freaking dollar bin. Mm-hmm. He's like, and then all of a sudden, I don't know what it is, he's like, they're going for crazy amounts of money. And he's like, I mean, good for me, because, you know, I'm a record store owner, so if I come across one, I can flip that real quick. He's like, but he's all, it's just crazy to me how all of a sudden, because the resurgence of collecting soul music, and he's like, it's good. He's like, but, you know, he's like, it was just, he said he just found it really interesting, because before, he's like, you'd see those things all the damn time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that you, again, there's a certain sound, there's certain songs, and the songs that everybody obviously knows. But once, like I said, you start picking at that scab and start figuring out other groups, other things, that's when you start getting into, again, that's what you call the rare soul. Because it's the underground record labels or the not really popular record labels that only maybe pressed maybe 300, 400, 500 copies, you know, and they might have started out, again, like I said, Ohio or Detroit or Midwest, and they just made their way to the West Coast, you know. And I know that there's some guys that are, they fly back east, you know, to dig. And it's like, even like right now, what I'm trying to do is that my brother-in-law, he lives in Pennsylvania. He's like an hour away out of Pittsburgh.
Andrew's like, ooh.
Yeah. And I'm like, and my wife's like, I'm going to go see my brother. I want to go see my brother. And I'm like, fuck it. Let's go. Hell yeah. She's like, I thought you didn't like my brother. And I'm like, oh, I like your brother. I was like, I just want to go fucking dig in Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? Find some shit that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Again, my cousin lives in Oklahoma. He's like, oh, and then his wife, uncle, is a collector. He's like, oh, he has thousands and thousands of records. He's and he has tons of those little ones. She doesn't know about records. You know, doesn't know about that much about records, 45s. And she's like, you know, you should just, he's eventually just start getting rid of stuff, but he's not like publicly selling stuff. But, you know, you should go talk to him. He probably has it. Yeah. You're looking for something, I promise you, he has it. And yeah. I was like, really? And then he's like, yeah, there's a few record stores out here. He's like, no one ever is at them. He's like, because it's not big in Oklahoma.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that people, a lot of the guys that are actually, again, serious about it, that a lot of the heavy hitters, I'm seeing them fly out of town, out of California, you know, and they're going to Texas, San Antonio, you know, El Paso, things like that, and coming back with just heat. I know there's guys that are going Minnesota. There's guys that, you know, Boston. That's like, you know, these towns that nobody's going to go, you know, thinking they're out there. You just got to go find them. It's not burnt out like California. You know, the homie Sergio, shout out to West Low Soul. He, when I was out there for our show, when I went out there, when I told you, and when I went to go take on the jungle, I mean, he was like, dude, I mean, California, I mean, LA's fucking burnt out. It's dug out already. You know, you might find maybe one or two, but it's like everybody's fucking running through everything. So it's just like even with here, I know there's a certain couple little hole in the walls that only, obviously, I've told you. Again, you got to kind of keep certain things under wraps. You know, there's ears around. But between you guys know in a couple spots that I've talked about I want to go check out. And it's kind of one of those things that haven't been gone through yet. And just like with me and you, when we went to Revolver, we fucking ran through that shit. And we didn't really find...
Yeah, I think I found like three or four records.
Three or four, yeah.
Yeah, and they weren't like super heaters. It was just something that was different and neat.
Yeah.
That's why I picked it up.
Yeah. And it's kind of one of those things that, again, it's on those... But that's in like the heart of downtown Phoenix. You know, I want to go like to little hole in the walls that's like antique stores that you wouldn't even think even have records, but they do. But it's just kind of one of those things of exploring those things and going and checking them out, you know. And that's why I told my wife, I was like, shit, let's go. Let's go see your brother. I mean, Pittsburgh, there could be so much heat over there, you know.
There's so much history and there's so much beautiful, great musicianship and music that came out from over there that, exactly. Yeah, they have stuff over here that people are going to pay top dollar for. And they're like, it's a diamond dozen. They just want to get rid
of
it.
Exactly. And there's guys that are finding really, really good records in, you know, the Midwest, and they're bringing them back. And, you know, these guys are selling them for crazy, ridiculous price. And you see someone posted, oh, I just found this in Detroit. Oh, I just found this in Michigan. I just found this. And, you know, and it's like, dude, I just said Detroit. I found this in Michigan. I was like, I'm already tall can in already. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties.
You're all good.
That's like, it's kind of one of those things that, again, you know, was like, dude, like, you know, how much did you pay for that? I'm just curious. Dude, I found this for $10. You know, it's like, wow. You know, you have to go out and explore to open the horizon up to, you know, to digging and finding hidden treasures, you know?
Well, I know there's a lot of people out there that don't like, they say that they dig, but they really don't. And that's okay. But it's just like, sometimes if you do want to find that gem or you really want to open a door for yourself and discover stuff that maybe no one's heard of, you're going to have to dig.
Yeah. Yeah. And me, I'm like on the fence about digging, because like the local shops, don't get me wrong, like they're cool, but I know that they're like gone through, and I know that a lot of the, and they're always getting new shit all the time and that, which is cool. But I know that a lot of the people who work at the record stores dig before putting it out there too. So it's like they come across like, oh, hell yeah, I'm putting this to the side. And I feel that the more kind of stuff that's not really popular, there's always the ones where you find the gems. And me, if, how can I say it? A lot of the stuff that I look for and I dig for, I know I'm not going to find it. But when I do find something that's kind of close to it, I swoop it. But most of the time I know what I want, so I go online and get it. Because I know what I want.
Yeah, because you're like, I'm looking for a particular something.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the way, like, the homie Westlow says. He's the same way. He goes, dude, if I want something, homie, I'm going to go online. I'm going to fucking get it.
Yeah, I'm a grown-ass man. I'm a bull drinker.
Yeah, and it's because a lot of the spots are already dug out, you know? And he's got heat. That dude's like, he's killing it right now. A lot of spots he plays at, a lot of his collection is just nothing but straight fire. And hopefully I'm trying to bring him out in March for Dodger spring training. I'm trying to bring a lot of them heavy hitters out here for around that time.
You should. That would be cool.
Yeah. And it's just, he told me, he's like, dude, like, if I want it, I'm going to go online and look for it. I'm going to get it. Because I know that if I go out and dig for it, I'm never going to find it. So, you know, if it's a crazy, outrageous price, I'll wait for a little while. But I know one will pop up. But if I want that record, I'm going to go online and look for it.
So I have a question. So I know that you are in a car club. So why do you think that the whole lowrider culture ties in well and it goes hand in hand with like soul music?
That's a tough one.
It's all your opinion, you know. What do you think?
I think a lot of that culture goes hand in hand with the lifestyle. You know what I mean? A lot of it has to do with being in love, being, you know, passion, being style. A lot of those things all play a role, you know. Friendship, bonds, family, all those things all play a role. And when you listen to soul music, a lot of that all plays a role in a lot of the songs and a lot of the music. Just like the lowrider community. I mean, a lot of it has to do with the brotherhood, the passion for your car, you know, cruising around with your lady by your side, you know, family, all that stuff all ties in all together. So I think with that, it just goes hand in hand, you know, because a lot of people, they want to be bumping oldies while they're cruising in their ride, you know, and a lot of the old timers back then, that was their thing. That's the shit. You know, you got an 8-track of East Side Story, you're popping it in, you're cruising down the street, you know, with your lady. That's on the, even back then, you know, 50s and 60s, you know, playing doo-wop 45s, you know, sock hops, you know, with rat rods and, you know, all that back in the day. That was the thing. So I think what it is that there's still that love and that passion that still ties it in. There's still that group of people. But the new generation, obviously, you have like your trap rap, you know, your... It just kind of goes with that,
like a lifestyle sort of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, it kind of just goes with that. How can I say it? Like that age group, you know, that age. It all goes back to like again your roots, what you were raised, you know. And there's very few kids that, you know, are cruising in their rides and they're bumping oldies, you know. If they are, it's because, you know, their dad or maybe because they were turned on to it at a young age, you know. Some people are just kind of, you know, in that boys in the hood lifestyle. They want to just cruise and just smoke a blunt with a 40 in between their legs and bump some Dre, you know what I mean? And that's cool. There ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
There's room for everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, with me, I'm kind of just like, you know, I throw on some soul, throw on some oldies, or throw on some funk. And it's just because, again, like with my dad, he was into, you know, like low riders and stuff like that. So was my uncle and them. So it was one of those things when I was young, I would be riding shotgun with my pops, like in his truck, you know, smashing down the street, you know, and smoking with a 40 in between his legs, bumping, you know, he was bumping Cutie Pie One Way one time. We were fucking I was fucking scarier than shit. My fucking dad was going like 100 on 13 down fucking Thomas one time. I was like, oh shit. I think I was even crying. I think they tell my dude, I was like 7 years old, dude. Aww. My dad was like, why are you crying? I'm like, man, I'm fucking going fast, man. What the fuck? But I mean, yeah, I think I remember that. It was like Cutie Pie. We were smashing. But I mean, it's one of those things. It's just that lifestyle, you know, and especially with my club, with my car club, a lot of those guys are a lot of veterano guys.
Well, because you're in a seasoned ass car club. It's not just some new chapter sort of thing.
Yeah. And I'm like the youngest guy like in my club. Everybody else is like over 40, you know. So there's even guys that are like probably 60, 70 years old. Still from our club. So it's, yeah. But I think it goes hand in hand. You know, whatever you feel at that time, whatever you that passion, you know?
Yeah, because you're like, they're both things that require passion, and they have deep roots in family and culture and all that other stuff. So like you said, you're always around that kind of community, right? Because of your family.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you start doing it on your own, though? Like, did you, because I know you have a Impala, right? Is it Impala?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because you're in the period. So my question is, was that like your first lowrider?
No, not my first one. I mean, my dad was really big, like, on 67 to 72 C10 trucks. Like, that's like his thing. Like, he knows those trucks like the back of his hand, and he's always built them from like the ground up, like frame off, full build, everything. He's built probably five of them in my lifetime. So, built them, sold them, built them, sold them. And so I had a 67 at one time that he had built and gave to me. We sold that, and then I ended up getting a 77 Monte Carlo off of my buddy that was going to jail, and he sold it to me for like $800. It was clean. And at the time, I didn't have no license. I think I was like on a revoked license. I drove that motherfucker for like 3 years with no tags, no plates, no license. I was taking the back roads for 3 years.
Hey, riding dirty as fuck.
Riding dirty. And that was always like, I would say, like, that's like my hood cruiser. You know what I mean? Like, but when I wanted to mob the streets, I was mobbing like my Nana's Neon and shit. Like, legit. You know what I mean? Like, AC blowing, window tint. You know what I mean? So I was like, hell yeah. So then I had like an 85 Monty, you know? So I've always kind of been...
And just like, what?
No, it's like 87 with the...
The one you want.
The one I want, yeah.
Yeah. So it's... I kind of been around that whole kind of lifestyle, but I've always, again, been around that type of music, you know? So when I started getting more building my own car, doing my own thing, I kind of... I don't want to say I guess kind of just fell into, like, you know, my dad's path. You know what I mean? It wasn't like it was like on purpose. It wasn't like, it's just kind of like, you know,
a natural thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like in my garage, you know, drinking beer, playing music, you know, working on my ride, homies out, you know, around bullshitting, cracking jokes, drinking beer, you know, playing oldies, working on the rides. It's just like, damn. This is what my dad used to do with my deals, you know. I mean, this is like, damn, this is, you know, my mom would tell me, you sound just like your dad. You do shit just like your dad. You talk just like, I mean, my wife, she's like, you're just like your dad. You talk just like your dad. Then, but I know I'm not the only one that's like that. You know, I know there's hundreds of guys out there and people that, you know, even with females, you know, they do certain things that their mom did, you know, even with guys, you know, it's...
So do you feel like when you started having like your own kickbacks and your friends over and you have your family and stuff like that, did you ever come to a point to where you're like, I understand why they wanted to do this every weekend? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it goes hand to hand as for the camaraderie, the lifestyle, the brotherhood, the friendship, the bonds, the coming of together, like, the vibes, it just feels good. And to where some people that if you never came from that background, you wouldn't understand, you know, you would think, oh, this is just a hangout. You know, this is a hangout. Yeah. You know, you do this probably once in a blue moon. We do this shit every weekend. We do this shit during the week even, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things that, again, I know that there's people everywhere for many generations before have always done that, you know? And it's, again, it's how you were raised. It's how, you know, you connect more to it, you know? So there's a background to it. So,
before we wrap things up, I have to ask you a question. So we were just talking to my cousin Eric, and he was talking about, oldies and the Valentine Love Show, Art LeBeau show, is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to know your opinion on Art LeBeau, because his opinion was that Art LeBeau is fucking whack. And so I just wanted to get your personal opinion.
I give, again, I pay dues to people who paved the way. And I give Art LeBeau a lot of credit. I pay dues. A lot of people say Art LeBeau's whack. Why is he whack? The dude's been putting these shows together and put CDs out when you were still in your daddy's nutsack. You know what I mean?
Yup.
It's one of those things that he's a pioneer of the stuff. And he's not the only one, but he's a big part of it. And a lot of the shows, concerts, CDs, records, things like that, he's an OG in the game. So I give him a 110% credit, homage for sure. And I think why people are like, oh, Art LeBeau's whack. Oh, it's because they are on that, again, rare soul, rare shit, rare this. I'm not about the mainstream.
Well, no, he said his dad grew up on a different. So Art LeBeau was more SoCal, and the one they listened to, do you remember what it was?
I don't remember right now.
Fuck, I can't remember. It was a different California DJ, and he was like, you know, he was like Art LeBeau, but he was like better than Art LeBeau. It was somebody else out of Cali. He's like, that's what like my dad grew up on. He's also, that's what we listen to. He's all.
I think it's just that it's like the different, it was the preference. So it's what he grew up with. And yeah. I think what's neat about the Art LeBeau thing is that all these, the Love Jams and stuff like that, like all these groups, they're the OGs, like you say, like they're still getting to eat and live off of the music because of the impact.
Exactly.
Of that.
Exactly. And the reason why I say that about the whole, because I know that there's people who've been like, oh, Art LeBeau's whack. He's got the same shit, the mainstream shit. And it's like, without that mainstream shit, it's like.
Yeah. I mean, if you're playing out, you want to play, like, if we say we place a couple of rare tracks or rarer tracks. Someone, like I told you before, somebody was going to want to hear some fucking Bretton Woods because mm-hmm. everybody knows Bretton Woods. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's universal. So if you want to get people into it, let them enjoy something they probably haven't heard yet. But please, you know, for the people who aren't interested in it, they might want to hear that classic oldie or that classic cruising song that they used to listen to, that everyone listened to.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, is that with the rare stuff and the mainstream stuff, it's, again, it's like night and day. And the reason why people, because they don't know a lot of stuff that hasn't been discovered yet. So that's what in some people's eyes is rare. So, like, for instance, you know, when the Funk Freaks did the show at the Desert Rose last year, you know, a couple guys, you know, it was a dope show, super tight, packed house. But a lot of people were like, man, people aren't really on the dance floor, you know, when people are throwing down the rare shit, when these fools are throwing down that killer heat. And then, you know, to the rest of us that have heard it before, like, hell yeah, you know. But when people are putting on George Clinton, Atomic Dog, more people are like, hell yeah. They're going out there and their dance floor is packed because people know that song. That's what they grew up on. That's what they've been around. So that song hits them a lot more. If they heard, you know, a certain funk song that's, you know, rare that nobody's really been exposed to, they're going to be like, damn, that's tight, but I'm just going to sit back in the cut and just bob my head and drink my beer, you know? But again, it's what you've been exposed to. It's more. So again, you know, Art LeBeau's Love Jam shit, I'm going to be there. You know what I mean? So it's.
You and Mrs. Milky.
Yeah. So it's, again, I don't have any negativity or anything to say about anything about Art LeBeau, because some people are like, oh, East Side Story of Art LeBeau all day. And it's like, well,
like, go a little deeper than that.
Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, shit, dude.
But they all have the same songs.
Exactly.
To me, it's the same thing. And, you know, like you said, he like my cousin, he had his preference. He's like, I don't like Art LeBeau. That's just not mine. He's not my ideal. But I'm like you had said, you have to pay homage to the guy. He's been doing it. He's still fucking doing his show.
I'm surprised the dude's still alive, dude.
Yeah, he's still fucking doing it.
Crazy, man.
Still giving fucking kisses to people and shit.
Yeah. And it's crazy, too, because even his show is still on the radio.
Syndicated. Still syndicated.
Still. And it's not like it's been fucking pre-recorded. Like, it probably pre-recorded like last week, but it ain't like it's been months out, you know? And he still, the thing is, which is still badass, is that he's still letting people go on there and give dedications.
Yup.
It's like, man, every time I hear that, and my lady was sitting there laughing, there's still chicks on there giving dedications to vatos that are locked down.
Yup.
But they can't say it anymore. Back in the day, they used to be able to say so-and-so here and, like, say the pen, the name of the...
Yeah,
the...
now it's just like, I know you're away, I'll see you when you... You know what I mean?
And so I think it's so weird that it changed. I remember when I started hearing that, I was like, that's so weird. Like, that's crazy.
It took me a while to catch on to that. And I was like... Damn, there's a lot of people on vacation, and I'm thinking like, "Oh, I'll see you when you get home, baby." And it's like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about." Is this motherfucker in Afghanistan, or is he in fucking Folsom? Where's this motherfucker at? You know what I mean?
Yo, so same thing, right?
Yeah, it's like shit. So, but yeah, I mean that's the cool thing about it, and it's again, I give Art LeBeau 110% respect. I mean, not, like I said, the only thing that is really really funny. Is that a while back, probably, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, I went to an Art LeBeau show in Phoenix, and it was like Slice Licking Wicked. Like it was a badass show. The dude comes out and he's like, "Yeah, what do you guys think?" Everybody's all cheering him on, and he's like, "All right, man, this crowd in Tucson is really good." And everybody's looking, oh. Tucson? What the fuck? You're in Phoenix. Everybody's like, dude, he's old, man. Come on. Yeah. But everybody was booing him and shit.
Oh,
like,
that's
dude,
sad.
Really, bro?
That's
like,
so sad.
We're not in Tucson, man. Come on.
It's that rivalry, the Phoenix Tucson.
Yeah, yeah. It's and you know, and that's what's crazy too is that there is those rivalries, you know, because like you said, you know, you with your cousin, it's like Southern Cali and Northern Cali, you know, and it's just so crazy. And even like with Texas, like Chuco Town, and you know, it's just so like there's these rivalries, and of course you have that LA and Phoenix rivalry, you know.
I don't even know why that's a rivalry sometimes.
You know, I get it, but like once you've lived in Phoenix for so long, it's like barcoded like in your brain, you know.
So yeah, my family came, obviously I came here when I was really small, but they're from Los Angeles, so I never really got it. And then Dre was like, "Oh, you know, fuck LA, you know."
I never said fuck LA. I never said fuck LA. You better take that back.
Hey,
right,
ain't nothing wrong with that. I got plenty of homies that say fuck LA, but much love to the LA homies.
But I never said that. That's not what I said. My thing was
fuck the Lakers.
No, fuck the Lakers. Yes, I'm sorry, I'm not a Laker fan. But what I'm saying to him is, I met him. Okay, so I met this guy right here that's sitting next to me, and I asked him, "Where you from?" Okay, and he's like, "Well, yeah, like
Laguna Beach."
I'm from here. He's like, "I've been hanging out on the beach in my combat boots." No, but so like he said, like, "Well, I live over here, but like I'm from here." And I'm like, "Okay, but how long you been here?" And he's like, "Well, since I was this age." I'm like, "Dude, you're from here. You ain't from over there." I said,
"Yeah.
Whether you fucking like it or not, I'm like, you've been here for so long. You're so integrated here. You went... spend all your damn school years here." And that's the thing, I meet a lot of people that are from actually here, and they maybe were born over there, and I'm like, why are you trying to claim Cali? They don't claim you. Like, you're from here. Like, yeah, this is where
I
you
got
grew
homies
up.
Are like that too. Like, "When did you come over?" "I came over when I was like 3.
Yeah.
"Did you go back?" "No, but I've been here." "Homie." And they're all LA'd out, Dodgered out. Like, "Homie, yeah, that's cool. But motherfucker, can you name one fucking player on the Lakers or on the fucking Dodgers? Like, are you a Raiders, fan? Yeah. Are you just gonna, you know what I mean?" "Oh, no, homie. It's like, you, motherfucker, we pretty much just inherited you over here." Like, you know what I mean? Phoenix inherited you. Like, you're not fucking from there.
And
like,
exactly.
And I think, too, because we're sandwiched. So, like, Arizona's in between Cali, and then we got New Mexico with their red chili, and then we got Texas over here. So we're, like, in the middle of all this, and we just get, like, to me, a little bit of everything from everyone here. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, hard to say, like barbacoa is a big thing in Texas, but more carne asada is from Cali, but yeah, we have both here, so yeah, we get the best of it. And then we have the red chili too, so it's like, yeah, we just have a smorgasbord of everything.
Yeah. Jerry never said fuck LA, but she did say fuck
yeah, you better Lakers. I did say fuck Lakers.
You know what's great is that I have a lot of homies that, like, Phoenix homies that are, like, on that mentality, you know? And it's like, it again, that rivalry, you know? And if... again, it's how you're exposed to it, you know, because before, like, I started meeting a lot of, you know, with like the graffiti and stuff like that, meeting a lot of like LA writers and stuff like that, you know, and then going to LA painting, bombing, you know, networking with a lot of dudes. It was like, man, like, you know, kind of having that network, you know, so having that, again, that camaraderie, you know, love for LA having love for Phoenix. But again, you know, I remember a brother of mine from the crew, Clock One, he was all dodgered out one night, and he came to my house, or he called me, like, I'll be at your house right now, I'm gonna get some beer, homie, and this, and I, cool. Well, came to my house, like, yeah, dog, somebody smashed my fucking back window out. And he's lived out here for like, I don't know, 7-8 years possibly before this happened. So he's from out there, but he would go back and forth, you know, because his family's out there and stuff. And I'm like, well, he's like, I don't know, man, I think it's just Phoenix foos. And I'm like, motherfucker, you've been out here for like the past 8 years. You're a Phoenix foo. You know what I mean? That's because you got a goddamn Dodger jersey on. That's probably why they broke your shit. Go, that's why. That's probably why, motherfuckers. You fucking out there all Dodgered out.
They see your car every fucking day, and they're like, this guy fucking lives, and he's rocking the Dodgers.
And you know what's crazy is that I went to Tijuana one time. San Diego for like a graph show or something, and then a couple of buddies of mine were like, hey, let's go across the border, let's go to Tijuana. So I was all like Phoenix Suns, Dow, Jason Kidd, throwback, Suns hat, you know. I went inside this club, and it was like all eyes on me, like, fuck. I was like the outcast, because all these dudes that had San Diego shit on, LA shit on, Frisco shit, 49, like every fucking LA team motherfuckers are rocking it, and I'm the only dude sticking on the sore thumb with a Phoenix bird tattoo and a Phoenix Suns jersey.
You're like, my ass is gonna get jumped right
and
now.
I had all my boys with me too, you know what I mean? But I was like, fuck it, we're gonna throw it down. But I was getting dogged left and right. Nobody did nothing. And then lo and behold, I see this dude like with a Pat Tillman Cardinal jersey on. He's like, oh, hell yeah, homie. I thought I was the only one in here, homie. I was like, these fools look like you want to fuck me. I'm like, me too, motherfucking shit. We're going to be on some double dragon shit right now, fucking back to back. So I was like, fuck, dude. So it was kind of like, you know, but again, it has that rivalry, you know. And a big part of it too is like with like my club. You know, my club is a LA-based car club. So a lot of guys are like, well, you know, why are you running with the LA club? You're from Phoenix. You know, it's there's a lot more to it. You know, it's the brotherhood. It's the, you know.
You're a respectful person, so you're not the type to where you're overly prideful. You're like, I give respects wherever it's due. Exactly. I don't care where you're from.
Exactly. That's what I said. I support people who support me, you know. And, again, I don't have that negativity or that rivalry or anything like that, because again, a lot of the people who, you know, especially in the vinyl game, the collecting game, things like that, are California, Texas, New York, you know, things like that, to where it's just not out of here. So you can't just be like, oh, well, fuck everybody, you know. It's like it have that negativity on you all the time. It's like you got to show love to get love, you know. And again, it's that's a big part of it, you know. I don't want – my thing is, the big thing with the Arizona, the record, Phoenix record community is that I always want the positivity out of everybody, you know, bringing everybody together to be all united and all, you know, share the same interests, the same hobbies, the same, you know, because you see stuff online, you see stuff especially like in California and Texas and things like that, to where like there are certain beefs, there's certain people got certain problem with this person, you know, people were all cool and, you know, all these heavy hitters were all in this picture back in like early 2000s and they're all together and now they all branched off and they all hate each other, you know, because of like just certain little beefs, you know, certain things. It's just crazy. And it's like, I don't want nobody to ever think that, you know, Phoenix, what the hell's out in Phoenix? Like, what do you guys do out there? You know, like, well, come to Phoenix, man. We're going to show you how we do it out here. You know, we got heat, we got collectors, we got car shows, we got rides, we got everything that you guys got. You know, don't count us out, you know, just because you guys, you know, it's big out there. Don't think that we don't do it out here too.
Well, and there's just so much more history in LA and California in general, Texas. So their communities are stronger. They've been around longer and they understand, because I just had a conversation with someone a few days ago about that whole community aspect of like these what are considered bigger markets, they understand that. And it's sad because we're like the fifth largest city, but we still haven't gotten that message yet.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that we've been doing it for a long time out here. Car shows, cruising, everything. Like it goes from everything, even like with the graffiti aspect and just with like a lot of the collectors, a lot of the passion, a lot of collectors out here that are building their collections up, discovering the music, discovering this and that, have all these things that everybody's doing out here. It just hasn't been really discovered by a certain group of people.
Highlighted or
exposed. Yeah. We haven't been exposed like that
and
out
that's,
here yet.
And to me, that's okay because you can do your own thing. But if you do want to get put out there, then support people within your own community. Exactly. Stop worrying about what's going on in LA. Stop worrying about what's going on in Texas. I mean, it's cool to look at it and support them too, like you're saying, to pay your respects. But you know what? Then meet the OGs in your neighborhood and connect with them and thank them and learn from them. Don't just be sitting on your fucking phone trying to pick shit up off there. It's like, you know, go in your own community and talk to people.
I give them this whole Shazam.
What is this?
Yeah.
Let me ask this other guy I talked to and tell him, or we've already run into people who they're like, oh, well, how'd you find out? They're, oh, well, someone told me to buy it. It's like, oh, so you don't have your own taste? Well, yeah, I do. I'm like, but does everything I ask you about, someone else told you to buy it.
Yeah.
So you're not finding your own music, right? Oh, no, I do. I'm like, okay, well, what the fuck ever. Obviously, you don't.
Yeah.
You have no taste. You're just, like you had said, you're just buying the most fancy pogs, and you're buying all the holograms.
But you don't even know how to use a slammer, so you can't even do shit with it. Yeah.
I can fuck you up with the fucking washer, and you have like the $10.
Yep. And you know, it's really a two is that it goes hand to hand as for wanting to take care of your stuff too, you know, because just having them in sleeves or having them stacked up or having them, you know, nothing wrong with that, but getting, I guess you could say, pay more close attention to babying them. You know, if you're spending the money on the records, do the extra little legwork to take a little bit more care and pride in them. Because again, that's an investment. Like for instance, like with me, I have all my records all in paper sleeves and in plastic sleeves.
Do you have a record cleaner?
I got a record cleaner and not one of those ones like the wheel ones that you guys have. Yeah. But I have like the spray.
Then but that's like something.
Yeah. And like I'll go through them and like with the wood glue, like I'll clean them like with the wood glue and stuff like that, like once every like couple months, you know. But
do you think it makes a difference? Because he's done it, but I haven't done it. The wood glue.
It does. It gets in there. I think a little bit more deeper than what the cleaner would, but I think it just kind of gets in all in the cracks, and you just got to let it cure, let it set, and then just peel it all off.
You're like, I'm a clean guy. Okay,
yeah,
I like
my music. It's taking the time as for, again, what I even want to start doing is start filing my shit, like by like alphabetical order,
we
like,
try to
archiving
do that.
My shit.
But, well, it's because we have to get a different,
we have to get
more storage, and we don't know if we're going to move, so we're like in the middle of like, I can't really do anything because if we move, it's going to be in a few months, so there's no point in us trying to do that. We're like, we got to figure that out.
Yeah, it's just taking that step to just be like, damn, like, shit, you know, like this is actually filing them, actually take, because again, you're this is your time out of your life that you're spending to go dig. This is your money that you work hard for that you're spending, so why not take the time to put a little bit more extra time into preserving them, you know? So
Take care of your shit.
Take care of your shit, man.
So is there... Oh, do you have a question?
No, I'm good.
So is there anything you want to say before we wrap it up to here to people on podcast land? Anything you want them to know? Go ahead and actually, because I didn't say it at the top because I totally forgot. What's your IG if anybody wants to hear some good soul music spin that you spin on your IG?
If you want to hear some of the stuff I post up, I don't post too much, but just... some stuff, you know, when I'm messing around at home. You can find me on IG, Milky Lokes. I'm actually in the works right now of putting together a CD. I'm kind of, I got a few songs that I'm kind of very precisely picking out, saving up some cash to, you know, buy a few other records that I want to put on that first record. I feel that first impression's a big thing, especially if I want to do a couple of them. I want the first one to be a good one. A lot of my boys are like, when you make me a CD, motherfucker, when you make me a CD, I'm making you a CD off a damn hard drive is different. But actually taking the time to really make a real CD, you know, it takes time, you know, and you want to make sure that, again, that if you're going to do it and you're going to brand it, you want it to be good.
And a reflection of you.
Exactly, exactly. And I don't want it. There might be maybe like two or three songs that probably are like on a couple other CDs or something like that, you know, of course. But I want it to be some songs that, again, that somebody hasn't heard, or maybe they've heard once or twice, you know. And a big thing for me is that I collect soul for the passion of it and for the love of it. But when I play, I don't play my music, you know, if I'm at a coffee shop or a record store or somebody's house. I don't play my music to show off of what I have to be a badass. I show my music off because I want to share it with you guys. Introduce what I have to you guys that maybe haven't heard it before. To open up a door that you guys haven't been through before. So, you know, maybe some people are like, man, I've heard this online, or I've heard so-and-so play it, but damn, I'm hearing it now in person, you know? So that's a big thing. So when actually taking my time and making my first CD, I want to make sure that, you know, and branding it, and then doing shirts and a logo and all that. I'm in the works right now of actually doing my logo, my brand of Phoenix at a Soul. So that's something that I want to take very serious. I mean, it's kind of on the back burner right now because I'm trying to get my car done and all that stuff. But that's something that I have in the works that I want to, you know,
that you're going to get going and pursue.
Yeah, get it cracking. So that, you know, it's, again, I want to be able to have something that I can share with someone. Again, not to make money off of it. You know, yeah, I'll probably sling my CDs, probably $15. You know, I'm not going to be like, oh, $35 on me, this and that. $25. You know, because some people, that's nothing wrong with that. You know, if these dudes are dropping $700, you know, on a 45, I get it. You know what I mean? You're going to sling it for $25. Cool, I'll pay it. I would pay that because, I mean, look at what you're investing into it. But again, if you're selling it at a reasonable price and you're not trying to get rich off it, but just to introduce a new type of music, some new songs that somebody hasn't heard before, that's like priceless. You know what I mean? So that's what it's about.
So you hear that? Look out for Phoenix at a Soul, a.k.a. Milky Lokes, a.k.a. Jesse. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. I'm glad we finally got to do this. We've been talking about doing this for a minute now.
Since, yeah, you were probably like, it was...
I think he was one of the first people we asked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Since last year, since we first started this. So, yeah, I'm glad you were able to... We worked it out. Finally had the time to crack it,
You know, open. You're a family man. You have a lot of other endeavors going on. You got a job. You got a wife. You got all these other stuff going on.
Yeah, that's why, like I said, when I'm at home, I just sit on the couch, drink a beer, and listen to records.
So. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so. But thank you, guys. I appreciate it. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm glad we finally got to do it. I mean, you guys are badass. I mean, like I said, I support you guys 110%, so.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate it so much. Again, if you want to follow him, his Instagram is Milky_Lokes, L-O-K-S, right?
Yep.
And our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning Podcast. Our email is justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe, rate, and review on your preferred podcast platform. If we're not on there, drop us a DM on Instagram or email us. Let us know so that we can get on there. And thank you so much for listening. And don't stop digging and just keep spinning.
Thanks, guys.